So I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finally free from a long addiction to pornography, working on some other issues as well. My name is Paul. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to lesson 25 and examine the reasons for why we get stuck, help us, Lord, to fully understand all these principles that we've been studying all year. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit, to confess our sins to God and to accept the reality that there is, in fact, no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. Help us to boldly step out and face the responsibility for our past and to look to God for our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So for some time now, I've been trying to figure out why 12-step programs work. What's so magic about these 12 steps? At Celebrate Recovery, we've taken those 12 steps and we've combined them into 8 principles and added scriptural support. But other programs like AA and Al-Anon, they don't have the verses and they still work. In looking at the 12 steps, 6 of them refer to God and 7 of the principles refer to God. The key to why these work is that they're spiritual and lead us all to God. If it were not for God's leading, the steps would not even exist. You can't be in any 12-step program very long without moving towards God. It comes up in step 2. So then, if God is behind all this, why do we get stuck? So 7 reasons for why we get stuck is the name of this teaching, and your bulletin has in it these 7 reasons, along with some verses. We're going to go through that stuff. So I want to start with reason number 2, which says you have not completely surrendered your life and your will to the Lord. That's a reason you get stuck, not completely surrendered your life. Step 3 says we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. Implied in this step is a faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who follow him. Don't move beyond step 3 without dealing with your relationship to God. Even better, don't move beyond today without addressing that relationship. God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. In other words, sins means missing the mark. And Jesus was the sacrifice for us missing the mark for our sins. And he was raised from the dead so that we can have a new life with him. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Jesus has done everything already. We just have to believe in the resurrection and make him our Lord, and then share that belief with someone. And this gives us hope. Romans 5:5 says that this hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is in us, is the helper we need to make the changes that we need to make. We can't do it just on our own effort. So in your handout, under number 2, I think we started, the verse for number 2 is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And get this, it says, if you want favor with both God and man, and if you want a reputation for good judgment and common sense, then trust in the Lord completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. In everything you do, put God first, and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That verse describes so well what it means to turn your life and your will over to the Lord. So let's go to reason number 3. I'll get back to 1. So reason number 3, you have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. Once you have believed the work of Christ, your past, present, and future sins are forgiven already. The second verse in the handout is Ephesians 1:7. So overflowing is his kindness toward us that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son, by whom we are saved. Look at the third verse. It says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. And the first verse there is 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us from every wrong. Our sins are already forgiven. God wants us to confess them to him and to others. God wants a small group sharing time with each one of us. We need to take advantage of it. And then Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. If God forgives us and wants to hear from us and never condemns us, then we really have to get that pounded into our heads and our hearts. If we don't, we live with guilt that causes us to be stuck. Guilt that Christ has already hung on the cross. Guilt has no place in a Christ-centered recovery group. So let's go to reason 5. You are afraid of the risk in making the necessary change. I mentioned that you get the Holy Spirit in you to guide you and help you. And John 14:16 describes this also when Jesus says this, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Forever means the Holy Spirit is staying with you. John 14:16 says that the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you, John 14:16. The Holy Spirit is in you if you have accepted Christ. And he brings along his fruits, described in Galatians 5:22, 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is not a list of goals. These are given to us by having the Spirit in us. So when you see yourself finally having self-control over your habits, don't give yourself credit, but praise the Spirit for making those things happen in you. The Spirit can help you with the fears. The fear of failure. None of us wants to fail and have to get back up. But faith in Christ can help you get back up and move on. The fear of intimacy because of the fear of rejection. The fear of the unknown. Isaiah 41:10 in your handout says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, or victorious right hand. And Hebrews 13:6 says, that is why we can say without any doubt or fear, the Lord is my helper, and I am not afraid of anything that mere man can do to me. So I would say to pray this verse all the time. God, the Lord, you're my helper, and I'm not afraid of anything that mere man can do to me. Make that part of your day, your life. Okay, now let's go back and let's pick up number one. Reason number one, you have not completely worked the previous principle. The verse that goes with that is Galatians 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep step with the Spirit. Becoming a follower of Jesus brings the Spirit to us. And Jesus sent the Spirit to us and he is in us as a helper. So let the Spirit guide you through the steps. Let him reveal to you the exact nature of your wrongs. Talk to the Spirit when you pray. Ask him for guidance for all the steps. So how do you completely work a principle? One of the best ways is through step studies. Every principle is important and becomes and is the basis for the next step. So you have to get the first one before going on. Also, we're going to start the principles over, starting with denial in September. So for lesson number one, denial. So first pray and ask God and the Spirit to reveal to you what he wants to reveal. And make a promise to him to listen. Listen to the teachings. Read the lessons in your step study or in the handouts. Those lessons are the same in the step study book and in the handouts. Go over the Bible verses in your own Bible. Read the verses around that verse and think about the context. Maybe read the surrounding paragraphs. Then think through what does this principle and the verses mean? What questions are raised for you? Don't just gloss over it. For example, principle one says, realize I'm not God. Glossing over it would be to say, duh, of course I'm not God, and then move on. But you might ask yourself, is there any way that I could be trying to solve a habit in my life that is really better done by God? And if yes, then maybe I don't realize I'm not God. Maybe I think I am God. Spend some time on that. Think about it. So go after the principles and the steps until you feel certain you get it. When we start over in step one in September, keep your hand out and go over it. Get some help if it eludes you. Or if you want to talk to somebody, look around, check out people and see who might be able to help you with that and just ask. We do a lesson in the worship time every other week. Take the whole 2 weeks to think about each step. In a step study, there's only a week between the lessons, but questions are provided to help you dig into each step. So get into a step study and start digging, or follow these lessons as we give them during the teachings every other week. But completely work each principle before going on to the next. So reason number four for getting stuck. You have not forgiven others who have harmed you. The verse is 1 Peter 5:10-11. After you have suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you his eternal glory. He personally will pick you up, set you firmly in place, and make you stronger than ever. Forgiveness is hard to give, but you must let go of the pain of past harm and abuse. Until you are able to release it and forgive it, it will continue to hold you as a prisoner. Your lack of forgiveness does not affect the person that you need to forgive. He or she probably doesn't even know about it. Christ is the supreme example of forgiveness. He so wanted to forgive us that he hung on the cross to make it possible for us. It's easy to blame God for the sins of others that caused you pain. People ask, why would God allow this? But it's people, not God, that have harmed us. God gave all people free will to choose what they would do. It was the free will of some person that did you wrong, not God. If that's been your thinking, that this is God's fault, then ask God to forgive you for blaming him. And then remember God's promise that he will personally pick you up, set you firmly in place, and make you stronger than ever. Sometimes we are seriously harmed by others. And I've heard people say, I could never forgive that person for what he did. Certainly, you don't have to stay involved with that person ever again. And sometimes it's safer not to be involved. But we must forgive for our own healing. Do not say, I could never forgive. Yes, you can. God will help you. Reason number six. You are not willing to own your responsibility. We need to evaluate our responsibility in what has happened to us. Of course, in the case of abuse, in no way is the victim at fault or responsible for the abuse. Step 8, we have a 12 steps document for sexual and physical abuse. It reads as follows. Step 8, made a list of all persons who have harmed us and became willing to seek God's help in forgiving our perpetrators as well as forgiving ourselves. Realize that we have also harmed others and become willing to make amends for them to them. So with that exception, we need to take the responsibility for our part in a broken relationship, a damaged friendship, or with a distant child or a parent. Psalm 139:23 says, "Examine me, O God, and know my mind. Test me and discover if there's any evil in me, and guide me in the everlasting way." So number 7, you have not developed an effective support team. Do you meet regularly with someone you trust to share and grow with them? For those of us who are stronger, if you're stronger, do you make yourself available to meet with others who need to share? And you probably need to share with them too. At CR, do you have a sponsor or an accountability partner? Do you have the phone numbers of other people in your small group? Look around for people that you think would make good accountability partners and just ask them. Ask them if you can call them if you need to talk about something. Proverbs 13:20 says, be with wise men and women and become wise. Be with evil men and women and become evil. And Galatians 5:13 says, for dear brothers and sisters, you have been given freedom, not freedom to do wrong, but freedom to love and serve each other. And the last verse is Galatians 6:2. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. So those are the 7 reasons we get stuck. Let's just pray. God, thank you for the instruction we get in the Bible and in our step studies and our lessons. Help us to follow them and become unstuck. Help us to see what you want us to be. Amen.